This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Ireland is nowhere near meeting its retrofit targets, according to a new ESRI report out today. So why are people not retrofitting? We're joined by Claire McManus, Director of JFOC Architects and Housing Spokesperson for the Royal Institute of Architects of Ireland. Claire, do you have a theory as to why we are not meeting those retrofit targets?
Good afternoon. Yes, I think costs is the key one, and it is highlighted in the ESRI's report that the costs range from like €22,000 for an apartment up to €66,000 for a detached house. And even though the government is subsidising those costs, the majority are borne by the homeowner. But in addition to that disruption, kind of uncertainty, the need for a bespoke approach on each home kind of all leads to maybe barriers to people picking up this grant. I thought, though, that the report was very interesting because it highlighted another issue that we're looking at to the BER rating, which people will probably be familiar with. It ranges from an A-rated home to a G-rated home. But this has come up before. The Central Statistics Office shows no correlation between the kind of anticipated energy use from the BER rating to the actual energy uses on a statistical basis.
Explain that to us. Are you saying, so let's say I spent 30 grand on my house getting the whole front of it insulated. Are you saying my energy bills, my energy usage doesn't really drop after it?
Yeah, you're on a case by case basis like that. The people living in the home will notice the big difference. The home will be much warmer, less drafty, etc. But statistically, the A rated home uses the same energy as the G rated, and I suppose the theories for that are to do with maybe people get used to living in kind of more warmth, or perhaps, you know, people in A rated homes generally have more disposable income to spend on energy.
So it doesn't than the make G-rated you home. It doesn't make you less likely to turn the heat off.
On a statistical basis, no, there's no link at all, which is very interesting. But I mean, my own view on this is the BER rating is far too narrow measure of carbon. The Irish Green Building Council have a home performance index, which is much, much better because, you know, for example, if you build a new house in the countryside, A-rated home, like in theory, that's considered very, very good. But in reality, from an environmental perspective, it's not as good as, say, an old historical building within a town that's converted into apartments, even where they might be G-rated, because you have to consider all of the car journeys that are needed, the fact you've lost a bit of land, you may have lost some hedgerows. So the home performance index would take account of whether you're in a walkable location, so fewer car journeys needed, shorter car journeys needed where they are, the biodiversity, and a whole range of items, which I think if we use those as drivers, we might see that kind of infill local housing delivery that is in reality a much okay. more environmentally friendly.
We had a big debate yesterday on the show here about one-off housing. We won't revisit it again.
But I
take it you wouldn't be in favour of the government. From what you said, you wouldn't be in favour of the government relaxing the laws on one-off housing.
I wouldn't know. I think that they are needed in certain cases, but I think that what's really wrong with the system we have is whereby a person's cheapest option to deliver a home is a one-off house in the countryside. Something's wrong there. People may decide they want to do it. I think it should be a luxury product just purely based on the environmental impacts of one-off houses in the countryside and the kind of long-term costs of the state servicing people. You know, there's a lot of people maybe living alone in one-off houses now, elderly people, etc., that need a lot of services and help, and there's a high cost to that, as well as various other costs.
Yeah.
So just something's not being counted properly. If I know, talking to friends, their perhaps only option to owning a home is to build their own home on, you know, land that they have access to. So there's just something wrong with the system if that's the case. Whereas if people are moving into a town or a village or a city and can walk everywhere and access services more easily, it's better value all around.
We don't seem to be built that way.
Perspectives.
We don't seem to be built that way. We seem to view towns and cities almost as living as kind of a bad thing. But we won't address that today. I have to bring you back to that idea, though, that having an A-rated home, you don't use less energy. It just seems totally counterintuitive, really.
It really is, but it's in a lot of the news articles, and it was something I was made aware of from the CSO a while ago. But they're noting a striking observation: very little variation in actual energy use between dwellings of different B or ratings.
Right.
So the average actual energy consumption is similar for A rated and G rated home. And I think it's just perhaps that, you know, people in an A rated home just get used to a warmer environment, and etc.
Does that? Are we barking up the wrong tree then, by talking about retrofitting? And I have to say, Mark has texted in: Shane, regarding the retrofit numbers, my household earns a decent wage between the two of us. With the rising cost of food, carbon taxes, medical insurance, house insurance, we've little money left to save. How does the government expect the general public to afford retrofit? I can't even afford it with the grants. Like that, I would love to do the front of our house and retrofit it, but it would probably cost about 30 grand. And I'm kind of thinking, I'll be dead before we get the money back on bills on that. So do we need to rethink retrofitting?
I think retrofitting is still an important aspect of what needs to be done, and particularly where it can be done, if we could target it where the benefit is the highest, which is within our existing towns, villages, cities, so that we're getting the other benefits of maybe perhaps delivering new apartments in existing kind of perhaps historic buildings, and bringing them back into use improves the streets and does all kinds of other things as well. So I'd be in favour of maybe targeting the grants and making the grants easier for people to access, you know, providing them with some information that will, you know, perhaps remove the uncertainty of the process. But it is a tricky process, because each home would be different. If you imagine you were going to set up a business retrofitting homes, you have to talk to all those individual property owners and arrange access and arrange a bespoke response. You know, it is a little bit trickier, but the benefits are very, very high to improving existing buildings, rather than, we'll say, knocking a home and rebuilding it. It has a very high carbon cost.
It does.
So
we do
need to consider some of those things as
well. Okay, but the problem is people aren't doing it. So how do we bridge that gap?
It's a really good question. I think more information, and perhaps the government covering more of the costs where we see the most benefits to the retrofitting.
So does that mean calls for carbon taxes to be cut and all that should be resisted? I mean, that is a kind of a pretty knee-jerk reaction every time oil prices hike up, that we should cut carbon taxes. Are you saying that's a bad idea? We should keep using that money and funnel even more of it towards retrofitting?
It's a really hard question, you know, because there is a cost of living crisis and oil prices are going up, so you're trying to balance that with a climate crisis and a housing emergency. You're trying to balance all of these different criteria and requirements that people have. I suppose the way I would be inclined to look at it is, where is the most benefit going to happen? And to me, that is retrofitting existing buildings within existing towns, cities, villages. The carbon tax, I don't really know what the best approach is in terms of...
Lots of text coming through on this, Claire. A listener says, I lived in an A2 rated house, had to put on the air conditioning last summer, cost me more, which is an interesting take. Leo says, too expensive, too complicated to apply for, too intrusive, it's not worth it, it takes too long to pay for itself, which I suspect is a common complaint. And then another listener says, retrofitting only works in a new build, as good insulation and air tightness, costs more to run in an old house. Is there truth to that last text?
Yeah, I think it is much more difficult to achieve the same insulation and kind of draft proofing in an existing house, because you're working with, you know, for example, where the floor meets the wall. It's hard to get a perfect, airtight result there. Whereas if you're building a new home, you'd have all of your airtight membranes, etc., in the right places from the beginning. It is a little bit harder, but I think a kind of a much broader look at the overall costs of different interventions is needed, because we do have greener forms of energy coming into play as well. So if we kind of had broadened our outlook much more and see where we can get the best bang for our buck, and take in things like walkable and biodiversity as well, because they're very, very important.
Okay.
Just as important as the energy usage itself for heating.
Interesting point. Claire McManus, a director of JFOC Architects and housing spokesperson for the Royal Institute of Architects of Ireland. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.